Wait. We need a name that starts with L and it's one syllable. Carl.
Lee.
Your intro must include the name Lee. And it has to rhyme.
And you have to do it as a 70-year-old spinster.
Go.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
I'm Steve Benson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Podcast. This is Lee Merriweather speaking to you from the grave.
She's still alive.
I hope you don't mind if I smoke, because I don't care if you burn. Now let's take a turn. Please welcome your hosts of the Don't Panic Podcast.
It's turning into Keith Richards.
Actually, I'm done. You're just going to do that for an hour.
I could do it. It's funny because, like, that's my kids, my two go-to impersonations in the house when they want me to entertain them is Keith and Elvis.
Oh, nice. I'm here with Steve Benson, because that's me, MP Cavalier.
Hello.
Woo!
Back from the fucking dead.
And, of course, Paul Schultz.
Yay.
Constance is here, the lovely bride. Not my lovely bride. This is the lovely bride.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have. We're gonna have to do a whole show about how you married her. You are way above your
punching above my weight
right here.
And we have Uncle Carl.
Did you win him in a contest?
He won me in a contest. Yeah.
I mean, I say the same thing about my marriage. I'm like, how the hell? What am I doing with her? Jeez.
That's what I ask myself with my marriage. What am I doing with her?
You tell him, number three.
Well, you have to understand, the reason I'm so funny is to keep her laughing, because if she ever stops laughing and, like, looks at me, she'll be like, what the?
Now, do you think that he's funny?
Yeah.
He is funny,
very,
right?
Very, yes. Oh, yeah.
She thinks she's my best audience, man. She's my number one fan. I could read recipe
James.
Book and she would laugh.
Yeah. That hurts. I have
you
such,
don't laugh at everything I say.
That's true.
She laughs at everything.
I have such faith in my wife's ability to grade whether I'm funny or not that I used to run. I will run jokes by her.
Yeah.
Like I'll write something that I think is funny, or I'll think of something I think is funny, and I'll say, "Is this funny?" And I'll recite it for her, and there's usually three canned responses like, yeah, that's really funny, babe. Or, you might need to work on that in a while. Or, the third one is, you can't say that in public, and then I know it's funny.
That is really funny, yeah.
But can you say it on a podcast?
Yeah. There's this thing that I wrote called Cancer Peanuts, which she told me I could never repeat in public under any circumstance. Like, under penalty of, I will absolutely pack my bags and leave you if you ever do Cancer Peanuts.
I'll cut it out of the show.
I know you will.
So after this little round of small talk, which is not over yet, we will get into, this is the 2018 fourth annual birthday blowout.
Nice. Now, is it the birthday of the show too? Or no. Just you, it's no. Your personal yeah. Birthdays.
It's my birthday is in 2 days, and Paul's birthday is in 1 week and 2 days.
That's amazing.
And when we were kids, we would always do stuff during that week.
Aww.
So this sort of turned Aww. Into that week.
Because we're the same age for a week.
Yeah, for 1 week.
Paul is 51 weeks older than me.
So what kind of stuff would you do?
A lot Sit of naked, out naked volleyball. And...
I don't think we ever did
Somehow
volleyball.
Somehow I think
naked.
The word porn is coming.
Porn was not as easy to get a hold of back then, as you're well aware.
That's what she said.
I never heard her say it. She never said it to me.
Porn was not easy to get a hold of when? Were you born in the 50s?
This is
no,
also...
You grew up in the 80s, right?
2018
in the country
Indie Comic Con after party.
Yes,
which has turned out to be lower key than maybe Constance expected.
Well,
because when I told her about it, she freaked out when I first told her that we're having an after party, and that Paul said, like, just, you know, whoever happens to show up at the door, we'll let them in.
Right. Sure.
So I've been cleaning. I cleaned for like 10 hours this week, up one side, down the other. I think I did a better job up one side. Down the other, it's kind of where I shoved everything.
Well, the problem was, I was going to invite as many cosplayers as I could find. The problem was...
They're all Harley Quinn.
And they're all 14 years old.
Yeah. And Harley Quinn.
And Harley Quinn, yes.
I was going to say, did you invite the fat ones? But that would be redundant.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, the fat cosplayers. No, they're just cosplayers. Don't be redundant.
So we will talk about Comic-Con. We will also get an update from MP, since he's been persona non grata for a good year.
I am the 21st century equivalent of off the grid.
Yes. Yeah, as off the grid as you can get.
It's pretty cool.
In the 21st century.
Yeah.
Cambridge Analytics didn't steal any of MP's data. At least not in the last year. We will also have irresponsibly interpreted headlines.
Interpreted?
He
invented a word.
Mashed interpretated.
But it's a very special irresponsibly interpreted headlines, because we don't know what the headlines are going to be.
Even you don't.
Even
you typically pick them.
Because Uncle Carl picked the headlines and he's going to give them to us. And we will react.
Oh, it's like lightning round headlines.
It's like lightning
round
headlines.
Nice. Headlines. I love lightning round. Is like, I wish I could live my life as a lightning round.
There's only one rule, and that is, it has to be irresponsible.
Okay.
You can live your life as a lightning, black lightning round. Do you have any African American in you?
Not that I know of.
Would you like some?
Would you like an African-American in you?
Wow. That was so ad-libbed, it was almost scripted. Wait, I got another ad-lib coming up in 14 seconds on my non-existent watch. Let's see.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends. Thanks for sharing.
I like it.
And let's start the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought we had started.
We did. But I had to get in that part because one of the things you were asking earlier, did we go back to the way we used to be? Well, the problem with the way we used to be is all we could think of to talk about was like rape jokes. So it's like one rape joke after the other.
So that was my only problem with this show. It was like, man.
A lot of rape
jokes. They do a lot of rape jokes.
Well, what's funnier than, never mind, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. I almost got into it, but I'm not going
to
do it.
Well, the idea, honestly, was to desensitize the public to the idea of
we were rape taking being back funny. Rape. We were taking
we were
back
taking
rape.
It back.
You were owning rape, almost.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you were owning rape jokes. Let's say you were owning.
I don't think any of them were funny. Okay, I think they were all in poor taste, and they should never be. In fact, I'm going to go delete all those episodes.
But you did them week after week after week
for the first 50 episodes. After that, we stopped.
Yes.
So,
even we realized we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing with it.
So this show, if this show accomplishes anything, I hope it gets people to forget about the news for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that throughout history, people have freaked out about the news of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's always been horrible things going on. And I'm not saying they're less horrible.
Mm-hmm.
There are absolutely terrifying and horrific things going on. Every day, right?
In this room, actually.
In this room. Underneath this cabinet right now. I'm not trying to say those things aren't happening. I'm not saying pretend they're not happening. But I am saying you still have a life you have to lead.
Yeah.
And so, here, let's maybe make you laugh for a little while.
Right.
Okay? The problem with when we started, it's not a problem because I believe every creative endeavor has to go through. You remember from your team building training, forming, storming, norming, and performing.
I was usually pretty high during those.
Yeah, okay. It's forming, storming, norming, Schwarzkopf, and performing.
Right.
Well, you have to...
like, I'm waiting for the American flag to unfurl behind him and the music to start playing.
Photoshop.
Yeah.
So you have to go through certain stages. And the first stage is, I will be embarrassed by these shows when I see them in a year.
They are quite embarrassing.
I don't listen to... I'm going to... In fact, we should archive them because they suck. There's lots of rape jokes. So anyway, all of that is to say this. The structure of the show now, as our longtime listeners will know, is I tell everybody what we're going to talk about in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the things I said we were going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then I tell everybody what we talked about. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Most of the time that works. Hey, you know, the archiving those episodes?
Is that a good idea?
Well, give them a time limit. Because then you'll watch the download numbers go up. Because we're going to put those away. Like the, what are those plates and stuff that they put away? This is going to be put away for 10 years. You know what I'm talking about?
Forced scarcity.
Disney movies.
But, yes, but we're going to bring them out.
Right.
So we were starting to get into, so this is, you know, I picked Paul up from Comic-Con, the Indie Comic-Con. The whole reason he's in town is for the Comic-Con.
Not the whole reason.
A reason. A strong reason. So I picked him up, and as I was picking him up, by the way, you and I, we can never pull off a caper together. Because
I got lost.
I said, now your story. First of all, I said, I'll be there at 6:30.
I had to go to the bathroom.
You said, I'll be there at 6:30.
I had to go to the bathroom, and then I made a wrong turn. I'm pounding the table.
Yeah, you're the one that has to deal with that in post.
That's okay.
So I'm there.
It's not that bad.
Right at 6:30. You know where we messed up? We didn't synchronize watches.
Oh.
We didn't show synchronize watches. Mm. Yeah.
Like at the end of Animal House.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Synchronized watches. So I'm pulling up to where he's supposed to be. I'm seeing all these cosplay people. Every one of them is morbidly obese. Like every one of them. And then from a distance, I see one that appears not to be.
Morbidly obese is one of the funniest things. Just those two words together just make me laugh.
You know who came up with that term? A skinny person.
I thought Robert Judge Bork what was his name? I thought Robert Bork came up with morbidly obese. That sounds like something he would come up with.
But he wasn't skinny, was he?
No, he's like a barrel chest fat fucker.
Yeah. How dare him?
Did he say fat on this show?
You say fucker.
Yeah. Okay. No, fucker. I'm okay. Nobody's offended by fucker, but if you say fat, it's like you have to go like testify.
You can't play in Bangladesh or something.
You have to testify in front of Congress if you say fat. If you say fuck, you're good to go. You get elected to Congress. Sorry, I digress.
We're banned in American Samoa.
Sorry, I totally.
All the other Samoans were fine.
Yeah, I hijacked your meeting. Samoa. I'm sorry.
So all these cosplay girls. The one in the distance, I'm like, oh, there's one. I'll pull up closer and see what she looks like. As I get closer, I start noticing the stuff is spilling out all over the place.
The cellulite? Or
yeah. Yeah. If I go to Google right now and I type in cosplay, the first 85 images are hot chicks in skimpy
outfits. Yeah, because
they've
paid the money to get themselves there. They're not actually, they're not your street level cosplayers. They're professionals.
Obviously. The street level ones I saw were not banging hot chicks.
But you know what? Maybe they are. When you're not
looking. They're funny to Paul. If they're funny.
If they're funny, they're good looking.
Yeah. Apparently they weren't funny.
So how was Comic-Con?
It doesn't matter to me. If they're, you know, overweight, I don't care. Because are you going to put on a costume and walk around?
Are you daring me to?
No, I know how this is going to go, so no.
This ends badly.
I'm just saying, it takes a special nerve on any other time of the year except for Halloween to put on a costume and walk around in a huge building full of thousands of people. So if they're overweight and they want to put on a Harley Quinn costume, you go, girl.
Wait, Harley Quinn? Are you telling me that maybe I need a little bit of a flesh out on what cosplaying is, because I thought everybody dresses up as Bill Cosby.
Well, you see, you got into cosplaying.
I thought that's what cosplay was. Was it
and
just...
you put the thing on the thing, and then you move the thing over on the other thing.
Right. Right. That's not cosplay?
No, that's cosplay. That's a good joke. Cosplay.
What would Leah say about that joke? She'd go,
because
that's kind of funny.
Then you have Crosplay, where everybody's dressed up as Bing Crosby.
No, I thought it was walking around
beating, them, beat just beating the shit out of their kids and doing Christmas singles with Bowie.
That's right.
All right.
I thought Crosplay was "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." Is that Crosby still?
No, that's Simon and Garfunkel.
Same beat.
But you're okay. Same thing. David Crosplay.
David Crosplay would be like Stardust.
Having sex with your kids. Right?
Yeah.
Did you have sex with that girl from One Day at a Time?
No. Who had sex with... No. Wow, you are just in a culture arc right now.
That wasn't David Crosby?
No.
Who's that?
No.
You know, it's great to see him do that to somebody else.
Who was it?
Okay.
It was her own father.
Let's break this
down. What was his name?
John Phillips.
John Phillips.
Is the father of Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh, Wilson
Phillips.
Yeah.
Also Mackenzie Phillips.
And the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys? How did they play it?
Wasn't he in the Beach Boys?
Wait.
Mamas and the Papas.
Mamas and Papas.
Oh, was he Papa?
John Phillips was...
Papa was Papa.
He was Papa of Mamas and Papas.
Okay.
Along with Denny. Yeah. And then...
And then
his daughters...
slept with his daughter, Mackenzie.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of did.
I got him confused with.
They had the sex.
So what did David Crosby do that was creepy?
He got
Melissa Etheridge pregnant. He donated sperm.
That's not creepy. That's awesome.
What's wrong with that?
Now, let me ask you a question.
Melissa was her partner.
Constance is off camera, but let me ask you a question. When you said Melissa Etheridge and her wife are going to have a baby, and you're like, that Melissa Etheridge is getting married to her girlfriend. That's awesome. I'm progressive. I'm liberal.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think it's great they're getting married.
Yeah.
They're going to get married and they want to have a baby. That is fucking... I'm so pleased that they're going to have a baby. Good for them.
Yeah.
They are going to use a celebrity sperm donor. That's awesome. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Clooney? Is it going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is it going to be some great
Brad Pitt?
Brilliant. Is it going to be some great
Stephen
Hawking?
But they'll fix that gene that made his head go to the side.
This is going to be amazing. They could. She's a rich.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It could be anybody.
They didn't have a big brain
it could be
in a
anybody.
Big.
And who did they go with? Walrus face.
Yeah.
David.
Why is that?
Fucking Crosby.
Yeah.
David Crosby.
He'd be a brilliant musician. Melissa Etheridge.
He's not a brilliant musician. He's not a brilliant
musician. I'm saying the kid will be a brilliant musician because he made a lot of money as a musician. She made a lot of money as a musician.
But the kid's going to make. But look at him. Look at David Crosby.
I'd take ugly and rich. Hey, I'm ugly and poor. I would definitely take ugly
like
and rich.
He's like a garden gnome.
There's something wrong with him. How could you do that much coke in your life and be that fat? But I digress because we should be talking about Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
You guys go... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll fix it in post.
I know you will. Go ahead and talk about Comic-Con. Because it's awesome.
Go.
It is.
How was it?
Was it awesome?
Yes. I've been out of the scene for a while because I have a love-hate relationship with the direction that comics are headed and that they're not headed anywhere for the most part. And typically when you go to a bigger convention, it's a large... Okay, if you make Infinity Scarves, your own jewelry, or if you have like 1,100 prints of Deadpool and Harley Quinn and Bill Cosby... You've got it made. But if you have an actual product that you worked on, you're not going to make anything. You're not going to get anywhere with it. So conventions for me have mostly just become something I go to, lose money on, have fun with my friends, and that's it. But
were you at Comic-Con today as a vendor or an exhibitor?
Yeah.
As an exhibitor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm working with Jim McClain, who... has created Solution Squad, which is a comic book it's a math-based comic book. He's a math teacher, and he's managed to figure out a way to make math interesting to the masses. Anyway, the thing I've discovered about this show, Indiana Comic Con, is like, it was totally different. I sat down, got there late, sat down, 5 minutes later, I was making money. People were buying my stuff.
Yeah.
And people were buying his stuff. And it was like, oh, this is how it used to be. And then I found bins, like vendors had large collections of books they were selling, which you can't find at most comic book conventions.
Right.
In fact, I messaged a friend of mine because he's like, how's the show going? I'm like, It's crazy. They got these things here called comic books.
Yeah.
You may have heard of them.
You're shocked, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it reminds me of the first... I've been doing this for about 15 years now, and I got out of it for a little while towards the end there, but I've been doing this for about 15 years now. And the vibe I got this time at Indiana Comic Con is like the vibe I had before the crash that happened around 08.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is like a cool thing. This gives me hope that there's something out there. So overall, so far, day one, I'm coming back next year.
So did you get a good vibe from the crowd today for your stuff?
Yeah. Young, old, everybody. And they were buying my stuff. They were buying Jim's stuff. They were buying stuff around us. It was really, maybe, I don't know why, but it was just, This is what it was like.
Well, I think Artist Alley has become, Indiana Comic Con is. I've never been to any other city's Comic Con, so mm-hmm. I only have Indiana to judge by, and we've only been doing it here for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and it's huge.
And it's huge
in a very short order of time.
Well, the first year we did it, it was in one of the smaller exhibit halls, and they completely. Grossly, savagely underestimated the number of people.
I heard that. I heard that about
it. It was a mess. Yeah. The first year was a nightmare for everybody, not just for people who were just clamoring to get in, but the convention center, the organizers, everybody was like, oh, we're going to do this in Indianapolis. It'll be really, really easy. Nobody's going to come. You know, we'll break even. And they were turning people, they were literally turning hundreds of people away that first year. And it was so severe that. The day Comic-Con, the first Comic-Con ended, they didn't waste any time. They announced that day, next year, we've already negotiated a space twice the size.
Yeah.
So they knew right away they had something on their hands. Because, I mean, you know, they have Chicago and they have New York and everything. But there's something about Indianapolis. It's geographic. Chicago's a pain. I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities, but it's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass to get there. It's a pain in the ass to park. It's a pain in the ass to get a hotel, to get around. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis, for what it's worth, it's a town of 850,000 people. It's just easier to get around.
Yeah.
You know, and the convention center is really easy to get to. We don't have public transportation here, which to me makes it easier because of the hotels and everything.
Right.
So that first year was such a blast, but it was... completely, they just totally underestimated how many people are going to show up, and all these people are standing there like with money in their hands mm-hmm. on the street saying, take my fucking money, and they couldn't get in. And now it's, you know, a couple years, you know, 6 years later, and mm-hmm. now it's totally blown up. And I wouldn't put it up against San Diego, but I would put it up against pretty much any other city, including New York, my hometown,
and Chicago. The shows I've done in the past 5 years. I'd put it up against any of them.
And Artist Alley, to me, I think they're still finding their footing on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I think Artist Alley, to me, that should be the marquee draw for Indiana Comic Con, because it's great that everybody's selling swag and downtown Comics comes in with their mm-hmm. long boxes, you know, Dollar Comics, mm-hmm. and everybody's got their stuff, Funko Pops to sell, and all the stuff that they're
of a ton,
but. To me, that whole center runway,
mm-hmm.
that center should be Artist Alley, and it should be Original Creations. My kid, my oldest, came home today with a bunch of stuff that I thought was really, really cool, and really, really unique, and they're one of a kind. They were handcrafted
mm-hmm.
wooden, you know, figurines and, you know, one of a kind drawings and stuff. And it's all part of that Artist Alley and that extension of it. And that should be the centerpiece of Indiana Comic Con. Because at the end of the day, who gives a fuck about it? I could buy Funko Pops online at Amazon for a third of what they charge at Comic Con. And I can buy any of those comic books anytime by just going to a comic book store.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that this guy does,
that's true.
And the stuff, you know, these handcrafted things, I mean, that should be the selling point. That should be what they're marketing this
thing. And that's why they put us in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, and it's a really, really good spot that they're not sticking you out in on the northwest end of it.
Change the channel, Marge!
MP, you dropped off the face of the earth. You went persona non grata, incognito.
It was awesome.
And several other Latin terms.
Highly recommend.
I can't say it there. You've not been on Facebook for 18
I dropped
months.
I dropped off Facebook too.
About for 18 how long?
Months. No. Months? I dropped off in, I think it was October of last year.
I was going to say, it hasn't been 18 months.
No, it hasn't been that
That's
long.
A year and a half.
Our listeners will remember.
Maybe
that,
8 months.
That shortly after you dropped off Facebook, I ran into you in the Kroger's.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the good Kroger.
And I had a pretty funny bit. About that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was saying, I'll repeat it, because not everybody can hear every episode. I said, hey, I ran into MP in the grocery store. It's like, yeah, and it's like I was there to get, you know, I was with my daughter.
Were people just shocked that I buy my own groceries?
Yeah. Was he there to buy his own groceries?
I was buying someone else's.
Yeah. I was like, I was with my daughter. We were there to buy.
Yeah.
Something. It was October, so we were probably getting birthday gift stuff for Constance. I was like, you know how it is. Run into somebody, and you know them, but you're like, how long do I have to stand here? And you're like trying to figure out, I don't want to be rude, walk away, but I also, you know, I got things to do.
You were buying a cake.
I was like,
you're buying a cake, right?
You know how that is? You've done that before, right? Well, anyway, MP finally said he had to go buy ice cream or something. It got away from me. But I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get away from me.
It was just funny.
You see the joke?
Like yeah. I saw Steve, and Steve's on the phone.
Give me a hug. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was talking to Constance.
Yeah,
I was talking to your wife.
Yeah.
And you were buying, I think you were buying a cake.
I was buying cake making supplies.
Stuff. And you were with your daughter. And yeah. I said, here's Steve, and he's on the phone. And like, I don't know when I'm going to see Steve again, but I'll just stand here and wait until he's off the phone because, you know, it's Steve. And we're in Kroger, and what are the chances? And he's like, he's on the phone with his wife. He's like, I got the stuff, and yeah, I got the icing, and I got the cake. Oh, hang on a second. MP's here. I gotta go. He gets off the phone. I was like, wow, that's quite an honor. You know, he gives me the bro hug. We say, hello, what's up? What's going on? It's like, really good to see you. We should get together and do something. Got a lot to talk about. And I had literally just dropped off Facebook, like, I think, like that week.
Yeah.
And, I said, hey, it was great seeing you. I got to go get ice cream. And he was like, no, I was supposed to say, oh, it was great seeing you, MP, but I got to go. And, like, I trumped him and said, that's what the famous people do.
It's like, who's trying to get away from who?
Who first? Like, I didn't want to get, I just like said, oh, he's got shit to do. So I'm going to go feign having to go. I didn't have to get ice cream. I wasn't there to get ice cream. I was there to get, like.
He's like, suddenly I have ice cream.
Paper's
I
didn't even
no,
suddenly it's a Seinfeld.
Yeah,
episode.
I was there to get something completely, like, ridiculous. Like, you know.
Honey, why'd you buy ice cream? I ran into Steve.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened. Did you get the Epsom salts?
Now, the big question is, did you end up with everything else but what you went in for?
Yeah, it's like I got home and my wife said, did you get the Epsom salts? And I said, no, but I got, like, Moose Tracks ice cream. And the most expensive Moose Tracks. I said, why did you bring home ice cream, you fucking idiot? And I said, well, I ran into Steve Vincent. And she said, totally, okay. I get it.
Well, it's too bad she couldn't be here tonight.
It's funny when famous people run into each other.
It is.
No, she wanted to be here, but she sends her apologies, but
she
she's working really, really, really hard.
She had better judgment.
And, yeah, her judgment's really good. And also, she knows where the bail money is.
So what do you do when you're not on Facebook? What do you do when, for example, I don't know, you go in the bathroom and take a dump.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
Masturbate.
I was going to say, Steve usually does that
on
Facebook. Well,
how many, I mean, that's, okay, there's 3 minutes gone, but going to the bathroom for me is like 15 minutes. What do you
minutes.
Do for the other 12 minutes?
How,
He doesn't light candles or anything. He just
so let me
jumps right in.
Light candles, put on soft music.
You guys, you guys have known me long enough to know that
by myself.
You guys have known me long enough to know that I'm like compelled to deconstruct this question. How hilarious is it that we've come to the point now where you ask people, "You're not on Facebook? What do you do with your life?"
Yeah.
And I resisted Facebook for as long as I possibly could. And it's been a pattern in my life. I resisted CDs for as long as I possibly could. I resisted digital media for as long as I possibly could. Social media, same thing. I got outed on social media by my wife because she wanted people to know that I had done something.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you have no idea what the power of social media is.
We do.
Well, and I'm know like, how that goes.
I'm like, I don't want any part of it. And this is years ago. I was like, I don't want any part of social media. But then at the same in the same breath, I'm saying, why won't people read this thing I just wrote, which I'm really proud of? And she said, if you really want people to read it, I can make that happen. And she outed me on social media. And I had to start a Facebook page and all this other stuff. And then you know, and Paul knows, I got like engrossed by it, like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. I just became like this Facebook monster. I had to know what was going on. I had to comment on every post. And I had to, you know, and then when I didn't have any reason to be on Facebook anymore, I kind of live in the extreme. You know, I used Facebook to promote this thing I was doing for 4 years.
So do it on the Radio Hour, correct?
And before that, the Radio Hour, but the stuff I was writing for the website.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I wrote a new article about this band and you should check this out. Or, hey, I just heard this new band, you should check this out. And I was trying to promote these things I was interested in, not to promote myself. And then it became a self-promotion thing. And then when that thing stopped, I was like, oh, I don't really need to be on social media. I don't need Facebook anymore because I don't have anything to promote. I don't need, it's like, well, I don't need to go on Conan O'Brien because I don't have a movie coming out. It's like, I don't need to be on Facebook because I don't have anything to tell anyone. But it's a really cool way to stay in touch with my friends, and I've made a lot of new friends, and I like these people, and these people are kind of cool, and these people amuse me. But when it got to the point where I was not amused almost all of the time, I was pissed off almost all the time.
What was pissing you off?
Just everything. Just everything that... All I wanted Facebook for was to find out, what are my friends up to? When's my friend's band playing? When is my favorite new band from Portland's new album coming out? Well, that's what I used Facebook for.
You do know there's this button on there. It's called unfollow.
See, yeah. And unfollow is great, but you also get stuck in this limbo where I like this person and I get good information from this person, and this person may be involved in something that I'm interested in. But then this person also has some really fucked up ideas about 9/11.
See, what happened to me was so many people were just nonstop posting so much of their views, if you will. Whether it was views I don't agree with or views I agree with. That's all they were sending. That's all they were putting out there. And I went, I'm like... I put this message up. I'm like, okay, you people have 24 hours. If in 24 hours all you have posted is your political, your religious, your social, your views on how the world should be, I'm going to basically drop you.
Yeah.
Well, I went to bed and I woke up, and I keep track of these things, and I noticed. When I woke up, I checked, for some reason, I felt like checking my numbers. I had lost like 20, 25 friends. I'm like, thanks. You guys just did my heavy lifting for me.
Yeah.
And then I had to go through and weed out a few of them. But it was like, now my Facebook is full of the stuff that I enjoy.
What's happening?
Gene Schultz is trying to call me.
Hello?
I don't think she knew she did.
No, that's about that.
Paul's mom doesn't know that I answered the
phone. Oh, it's your mom?
Yeah.
Mrs. Schultz.
Oh. Funny.
Oh, well.
I don't get on social media to get, like, the news or get preached to. I get on it to see stuff my friends are doing, to see pictures of my friends as kids, to see stuff my artist friends are working on, stuff my writer friends are working on. Not this.
I think I may not be a strong enough person to go that extra mile and say, I've got X number of friends on Facebook and I'm going to start knocking people off, because it's not so much I don't like what you say, but it's more about I want to be your friend on Facebook, but your threads are full of a lot of shit that I don't want to see.
Well, the beauty of that though is, if you tell them I'm going to be done with you, that tells them, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
But that's censorship, though. That's a form of censorship to me. Like, that would be, like, say, in real life, me going up to somebody and saying, I dig you, and I dig your band, or I dig your art, or, you and I have some stuff in common, and I think that you and I have a thing, and we should be friends, and something is drawing us together, whether it's cultural or political, whatever it is. But you got some really fucked up friends. And the problem is, and the problem with Facebook is now in real life, if I want to like go out for a beer with that person, all those people aren't going to get dragged along. I could sit in the bar with that person and have a beer. We could talk about whatever we want to talk about. But on Facebook, I not only have to deal with what they say, which I'm cool with, but then I have to deal with what all their idiot Facebook friends say.
Yeah, it's like
and that was the part of it that was really starting to get into my dick.
Your friend is like 20% an idiot. Right. Their friends are 80% idiots.
Right, and almost everybody I know is at least 10% of an idiot. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that if you go through life saying all of my friends are 0% idiot, you're probably living in a fool's paradise. You need to have a little bit of idiot in you. I mean, I know that we all have a certain amount of idiot we're prepared to admit. You know, I'm 20% idiot or whatever it is. But with Facebook, it just became this thing where, I mean, I realized right after our radio show ended, it's like, oh, I don't need this anymore. I don't need it anymore. Now I just want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
I'll come back when I want the drink, not when I need the drink.
Mm-hmm. Was Fool's Paradise a Coolio song?
I thought it was a great novel. Wasn't it Fool's Paradise?
The Blasters did a song called Fool's Paradise. Fool's.
Look. It's well studied, well known.
David Lee Roth album.
That social media provides these little micro endorphin rushes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are engineers, like teams, large teams of engineers at Facebook, Instagram, wherever else, whose job it is to figure out how to optimize that little endorphin rush to get people to stay on Facebook 30 seconds
longer.
Which
is one of my many reasons for...
That little notification, I posted a little half joking, maybe 80% joking post about how it works. And I think it works this way for me, and I think it works this way for everybody. The brilliant thing is that little notification icon that has a little number, a little red number that pops up. When I get on Facebook, usually I'm on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I open it up,
or the phone, or anything. You're usually on the toilet.
Yeah, whatever I'm doing, I'm normally, typically, I'm on the toilet.
Yeah, Jesus.
I love the toilet.
See a doctor.
He's not in there for that. He's just in there.
It has nothing to do with my gastro.
No, he's not taking a shit.
It's
I'm taking
carpeted.
A Facebook, right?
It's...
I'm taking a social media inventory.
It's... Look, it's quiet, and there's no other people in there, and the door locks.
Yes.
That's why I'm in there, okay? It's no secret.
Like your car.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just go sit in my car, turn the engine on.
And take a shit.
Leave the door closed. I'm gonna hose, put it on the exhaust. I'll run it in through the window.
Oh, yeah.
Roll the window most of the way up and just sit there contemplating... I'm so sleepy.
Who among us hasn't?
So sleepy, I could just fall asleep right now, and that would be that.
This is great.
And then I'm like, whoa, and I snap out of it, because one of my kids comes out and says, Daddy, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I?
I'm on the toilet. You were taking out a life insurance policy on yourself.
I'm on the toilet, and I open up the Facebook, and that little red, if that little red thing doesn't come up,
the Facebook.
Hit that little red notification.
He's 49. So.
If I'm on the Facebook and that little red thing doesn't come up, I'm like...
I don't exist.
But when that little red thing comes up, I get a little shot of endorphins, right? And I click it. And if it's a like or a comment on one of my things,
it's very exciting.
I'm like, woo! I posted something people like, woohoo!
There was a phrase for it at one point. I think... I remember when I first got on Facebook, I remember hearing the phrase Facebook bingo. And you win Facebook bingo when you have a notification, a new friend request, and a message.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of your of your things are lit up with some kind of numerator.
Yeah.
So your comment about like alcohol, like you don't needing it or whatever, is absolutely the same brain mechanism that gets people hooked on alcohol. Is what gets people hooked on these things right here.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant, and I think it will cause civilization to advance in unimaginable ways and reduce suffering.
Getting off Facebook?
No, I think having these smartphones and having social media, having the internet, I think will cause wonderful things. Right? I think it'll advance our civilization.
You're being ironic, right?
Beyond the imagination.
No, for once.
But it's going to take 100 years. Right? And so the time frame we're in now is the confusing time frame of the transition time frame. And transitions are always chaotic.
I think the landing gear is...
There's just... always extra suffering during those times. Look at Genghis Khan, right? Genghis Khan killed something like 10% of the Earth's population.
Without a smartphone.
Without a smartphone. But he opened up trade routes to China. Mm-hmm. He brought literacy. He... refrigeration, mm-hmm. I think. He made the heat, coal mining, you know, was invented because
of Transcontinental Railroad, I think.
So the trains started running on time. Lots of good things happened.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, a few people suffered.
I'm not sure that they had trains in the time of Genghis Khan. You may be thinking of Mussolini.
Early 1500s. I mean, Columbus had already discovered America by that time.
There is a distinct difference I've noticed between being on Facebook, for instance, on your phone versus being on your laptop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the laptop is the better way to go with it, whereas the phone funnels you down to mm-hmm. this very limited idea of what social media is. It gives you that, woo, you know, whereas when you're on your laptop, it doesn't, all the whistles and bells aren't there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. However, there's something weird, I've done it, but it's weird, about having a laptop on your bare thighs.
Well, on a brighter note,
commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
I'm worried.
Molly drifts in and out. Waking, sleeping, only occasionally here. Always, sometimes. She thinks that she lives in a movie. Is always the same. Take me, leave me. Soho don't always know what's in that out. And Brighton is calling to the sea. And though she's delighted, she leaves. Up in the attic of her mind, a pack of red Dunhills and a black tea. 30 minutes till the enemy takes her back from reality. For a smoke, back to the sun. Coffee cup full of dog ends. You are the one. to dream of a cottage in the UK.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Sorry.
That was The Blue Girl by MP Cavalier and the Found Souls. I'm so happy for you, dude. You know, I was super sad when Do It Indie Radio Hour stopped.
I wasn't. That was the happiest fucking day of my life.
I was ecstatic that I was on the last show. I didn't realize that was the last show.
You weren't on the last show. You were on like the second or third to last show. You were on the show we did on the deck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was like the third to last show.
All right. Well,
that was great to have you. That was a great show.
I'm glad I did it when I did it. That's what I should say, because the entire time that I knew about that show, I wanted to show up, but it was so hard to make it on Monday nights. Well, not really. I chose to make it hard to be there on Monday nights.
That's what she said.
I was so glad that I showed up to that. I had a ball.
Yeah, we had a great time having you on.
And I was only on for like 10, 15 minutes.
I was longer than that.
But
yeah.
But hanging out with everybody, meeting Carrie and the cellist? Bass. What does he play?
Tuba. Mark plays, he play? He plays sax and bassoon.
Bassoon.
Contrabassoon. He's the lead contrabassoon player for the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra.
Oh,
and
cool.
Great guy.
He's an awesome
great
dude.
Great guy.
I love
meeting him. I had never met him.
Yeah, the Duke. He's amazing.
And when my daughters went to see the ISO play with my father-in-law and mother-in-law, I told them to look for the bassoon player, because I said, I've met him. He'll have this long beard. Mm-hmm. He's a really cool looking guy. So,
he always wears a Rush Caress of Steel t-shirt. He's like such a character.
I'm just thrilled that you have stepped on the other side of the mic, and then now you're exploring your music. Because I knew you were a musician, and I love hearing your music. Dude, you have so much talent. I hope you keep going. I just hope that this thing explodes and you create a music scene here in Indianapolis.
I'll keep up the premise. thank you. I don't even like. I was saying earlier when we were doing what these call show prep.
Show prep. We did show prep together.
Show prep.
There was no judging.
Everybody has a book in them.
No,
everybody,
I learned a lot from watching him. Show prep.
Yeah,
I was like, I never thought of doing that.
Yeah, everybody just always have a box of tissues handy when doing show prep.
Long time listeners.
Yeah, everybody has a book in them. Everybody has a movie in them. Everybody has.
Girl, you got the devil in you.
A 10-minute comedy bit in them, and Rams. I've been music's my whole life. I've always thought, hey, I got an album in me, and I'm in my third act now, and I have. All this free time because I'm not on social media anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with what am I going to do with that part of my life now? Like, I don't have this thing like hanging over my head anymore. And it was an albatross. So I bought my kid a guitar for Christmas. That's what he wanted. My eight-year-old said, I want a guitar for Christmas. So we bought him a guitar and I'm teaching him how to play. And I don't play anymore. I'm teaching him how to play. And I'm like, hey, this, oh, Dad, what chord is that? And I'm like, oh, this is, it's an A7 and, this is whatever. I'm like, oh, these chords sound pretty cool together. I think I got, mm-hmm. I'm going to string these together and I got something here. And I was like, oh, I wrote a song and now what am I supposed to do? So I started following that natural progression. While you write a song, you gotta go play a song. And I said, okay, I'm going to take my guitar and I'm going to go down to an open mic. And I'm going to play my song.
Love it.
But I know all those people.
Where'd you go?
Open mic. I didn't, because I spoke to a couple of people. And I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about going down to this open mic and that open mic. And they looked at me and they said, don't.
Mm.
You have to get there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you got to wait around all freaking night to play one song. And you got to wait all... It sucks. So I don't know what to do now. And I realize I have all this technology at my fingertips. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and record an EP. And I know all these musicians locally now through the show. And everybody's been real cool about me calling them up and saying, hey, I need some backing vocals here. You think you can help me out? Hey, I need some keyboards here. Can you help me out? And everybody's been really cool about it. And they've been really forthcoming with their advice and their talent. And I guess I'm spending my equity.
What a time.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. I love you. Now back to our show.
Let's do headlines. Where's the headline from, and what is the headline?
Fox 32 News. Instruments stolen from E Street Band guitarist Niels Lofgren.
Niels Lofgren.
Lofgren.
Supposedly in Dallas, and was a bunch of guitars out of a van and a harp.
Insurance.
And a harp. Well, first of all, Fox 32, I think it's Chicago. Yep. 32 was WFLD TV, Chicago. Channel 32. When I was growing up.
That's oppressive.
When I was growing up, there were four channels.
The spectrum.
Like, I feel privileged.
That's a spectrum shit right there, right?
I feel privileged. I feel white privileged. But I also feel big city privileged because, like, I went to college in southern Indiana, Terre Haute. Right, and everybody's like, back, like my friends from there are like, back in our day, there were only three channels, and I'm like, you only had three channels? I had five. I had 2, 5, 7, 9, 32, and 44. And I was like, 32 was WFLD. It only became Fox later on,
yeah,
when Rupert Murdoch, yeah, went and bought all these states. His idea was, I'm gonna buy all these stations that nobody watches. It'll be super cheap to buy them. But I'll turn them into something that people want to watch, like news. Anyway, that's the first thing I thought when you said Fox 32.
You thought really fast.
I think fast. I talk fast. I think fast.
I'm a local yokel.
Like, so, if I come across a little harsh, I'm sorry, but that's what I do. Because I make things happen quickly. So, pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the fucking car.
I can't wait till we have our Don't Panic steak knife set.
So anyway, wait, what happened on the station?
Do you have to always be closing if you want the Don't Panic?
Put that scotch down.
Well, the loser gets what? A set
you
of
think
steak
I'm kidding? Put the
fire.
Scotch down. Scotch is for closers.
Steak knives are for closers.
Yeah. Wait, what? All I heard, I stopped listening after he said
Niels Lofgren.
Fox 32.
So
I did hear the end where he said there was a harp also.
Bruce's guitarist, Niels Lofgren, mm-hmm, who had a career before Bruce,
mm-hmm,
had all of his shit stolen out of his van, including a harp, which I'm assuming is not a harp, like Harpo or Marx would play
like
the
a Jew's harp.
Like,
I mean, I'm sorry,
a harmonica.
Mouth,
like
a
mouth harmonica. Harp.
Oh my God, I'm so
like a giant harp. Okay.
Mouth harp.
Like, yeah, a harmonica. Yeah, like that. Now, is it weird that when I think, when I, like, Harpo Marx is the only actual harpist that I know by name.
Did he play harp?
He did really play. Wow.
Was his real name Harpo, or that he got the nickname because he plays harp?
No, his real name was, Julius was Groucho.
I don't know their names.
Wow.
It was Shlomo. Like Samuel or Shlomo or something like, yeah, no. His real name wasn't Harpo.
I have to apologize in advance and in arrears. And probably for what I'm about to say.
I never apologize.
So I can tell you right now, there is an anti-Semitic rant in our future.
And it's Passover! Come on!
It's also Easter.
He really is a closet Jew hater.
The first
so
Jew...
Funny.
All right, look.
And he's so shitty at hiding it.
The first Jew that I became good friends with, his name is Joe Schwartz. Right.
I know Joe Schwartz.
And his.
We all know each other.
It's probably a different.
I could spot him in a, crowd, too.
Nickname Pi. Listeners will know who Pi is because we did a show called The Lives of Pi,
mm-hmm,
and he was featured.
Mm-hmm.
Became a great friend. I mean, to this, I miss him dearly. He was our friend in Chicago. He's not a social media guy, kind of like you. So we haven't, like, and we don't do a podcast together. So we're not, like, close, right? in terms of like talking. But I love him. I love him. He's one of my dearest, dearest friends. Right?
Who you don't keep in contact with.
But.
We love you, Pi.
That's right.
My first Jew friend, right? And he was so irreverent about the Jewishness of life that I sort of took his lead on what's okay to joke about, what's not okay to joke about. He might have been too far on the it's okay to joke about this stuff about Jews spectrum. And I may have learned from him, and therefore maybe I'm too far in that direction, and it may offend other Jewish
he might have left out the word
of color.
He might have left out the word us. It's okay for us to make these jokes.
Yeah,
it's not okay for you to make these jokes.
I see you agreeing, but I don't agree. He.
Like, no, I, but I know.
For example, yeah. For example.
No, I understand what you're saying.
If I say, wow, I haven't seen this many, I haven't seen this many ribs sticking out since Holocaust Night at Tony Roma's. If I make that joke, it's perfectly acceptable and it's funny. If you make that joke, not acceptable.
I totally get.
It's like the N-word.
Thanks to you, by the way.
How many Jews does it take to change a light bulb?
8.
Are you kidding me? All the way up there? I'm not getting on a stepladder with the heat. You'll burn your skin. Have Mr. Havisham from next door come and do it.
We should do a music podcast. Album review. Yeah. Seriously.
ABC 7 New York. Suffolk County District Judge apologizes and admits he's a serial underwear stealer.
First of all, I never got a single pair of underwear in any of the cereal I bought.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, you get underwear in your cereal?
When did they start putting underwear in cereal?
In New York? You're from New York.
I am.
You get underwear in the cereal?
Maybe in Suffolk County you do, apparently.
What's Suffolk? Suffolk County is
out in Long Island.
Is there a king of Suffolk County?
There is a...
Suffolk king?
That's Suffolk...
The sofa
is he
king.
Cool? No, is he sofa king cool?
The sofa king is not in Suffolk County. He's in Queens County.
He's a queen.
Yeah.
All right.
So what's he's the next stealing. Headline? No, hold on. He's stealing underwear.
Profit? Did he ever collect profit?
Where does he steal them from?
That's step three.
Where is he getting this underwear from? Is he getting it out of boxes of
prison.
Cereal?
Panty raids?
I think he steals it from prison.
What's cereal underwear?
What we have here is a misplaced modifier.
He's getting his headlines from far too reputable.
Where are you getting your ABC 7
sites? Can you pull up like the Daily Beast or something? Or
how about
they always have a sweet headline?
Porn Hub.
Now it's
here we go.
Now you're starting to see, like, you're hanging out with me. You see how obnoxious I am. Could you imagine doing a show with me every week for 4 years and people wonder, like, what's wrong with Tolan? I'm wrong with Tolan.
He's still recovering.
Mother Jones.
Oh, Mother Jones.
Life for residents near hog farms just got much, much worse.
Ooh, how
life
much
for
worse?
Residents near hog farms.
So when I was in high school, this girl had a crush on me.
Scoriated that bottle of scotch.
This girl had a crush on me. Her name was Scrumney. Nice. You probably knew her.
Yeah.
Her family were farmers, right? And I don't remember why I agreed to go work for her brother for $4 an hour.
Because it was 1985.
Yeah.
And you were 17.
And I was probably hoping that it would lead to a little sum.
And you're like shirt off sweat.
Did the farmer have a daughter?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I was dating the daughter of the farmer.
Okay. I would have led the story with that.
So I was working. I worked one day for her brother. It was a 12-hour day. Up to that point, it was the hardest I had ever worked. But after that, I went and worked at a foundry.
Yeah.
And you ain't worked until you worked at a foundry, right? But up to that point, that was the hardest I ever worked. Got paid $4 an hour. And at one point, we were delivering bales of hay to a pig farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I had to ride in the hay trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't no shocks. They ain't no suspension on a hay trailer. So, your ribs get jiggled when you're riding back there. and my ribs got jiggled. And then we were at least a half a mile away from the hog farm, and I knew we were almost there because it smelled like it smelled like somebody killed a lamb.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven. Put the oven not on a high setting, but on that keep warm setting, like 120, 130, and left it there for like a week. Uh-huh. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. I've never been talking about what a hog farm smells like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so horrible.
I thought I was going to puke so in my own ear.
Okay, so for anyone who's listening to this podcast who needs this simplified, it smelled like Ohio.
Smelled like Ohio.
Yeah.
That's what Ohio smells like.
So as we got closer, of course, it smelled worse.
Drive across it one day
it's
and tell me.
Worse.
Drive across it one day and tell me I'm wrong, fuckers.
So we get to the hog farm. He makes a deal with the hog farmer. Like, there's always a negotiation. He's like, $3 a bale. I'll pay you $150 a bale. How about two? Okay, all right, fine. Now we got to load this shit up into the loft. He's like, my job will be to be in the loft. Your job is to pick up the bale, throw it up into the loft. By the way, don't drop one. See those hogs over there? We're in their pen. If you drop one, it'll break, and they're all going to come over here to eat. And I was like, okay. So I got about a good two dozen thrown up there. My muscles are aching. I finally dropped one. It breaks. Sure enough, these hogs run. Mm-hmm. They don't walk. They run over mm-hmm. to eat. I'm like, it's hay. Like, if it was like a chocolate bar or a steak, I'd understand it. Or a good pork chop or some ribs, I'd understand it. But hay? Anyway, they run over there. You have never seen anybody climb to the top of a stack of hay faster than I did when those hogs came running over.
Yeah.
So I sympathize with these people.
It's scary.
In that headline.
I forgot what the headline was.
It just, that's the point.
That's okay. I forgot what day it was.
It just shows what we will do.
For money.
You say money.
Poontang.
Thank you.
Poontang's Poontang. I remember I was in the car with her. You'll remember this. In the car with her.
What, were you in the car too? How does this work?
Okay. We passed. No, this is after. I told her a story.
Oh.
It's after. So I'm in the car with Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And we drive past Eric's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I dated Eric. And this is how I knew I was not going to be with May much longer. Because
mm-hmm.
as we were driving past the house,
it was at that point,
she goes,
Steve knew he was not going to be.
She goes, oh, ha ha, I was like, oh, I'm a piece of meat that you just want. I'm a prize at the county fair. I'm a prize pig. County Fair, you just won from Paris. It was that moment that Steve realized. Anyway.
Oh, she was mocking Sarah.
She was mocking Sarah because I had broken up with Sarah and now I was with her. So apparently she had wanted to be with me for a long time, but Paris was in her way. So finally, Sarah pushed aside and her freakishly slave-driving brother put me to work.
What town did you guys grow up in?
Buttfuck, Egypt.
No, seriously. What? Where in Indiana did you guys go?
Northwest.
It's called Springfield Township.
Okay.
It's a terrible...
Unincorporated.
I will...
Really?
Second City.
Is it that obscure?
It's the one without the nuclear power plant.
Well, but did the city have a name?
I had this conversation with my daughter.
Where did you
get Michigan City.
I had this conversation with my daughter earlier
No,
today.
Even that doesn't even come close. We're in Springfield
Township. Hold on. I had this conversation already today. Let me just... The same questions were asked, and I think I gave pretty damn good answers. So I'm going to go ahead and give the same answers I gave earlier today. It was my 13-year-old daughter asking me where you guys were coming from. I said, LaPorte. And she goes, I thought Paul lived in Michigan City. I said, no, he lives in LaPorte. It's like, what's he doing in LaPorte? Where does Carl live? Michigan City. Where do Babu and Pawpaw live? Babu and Pawpaw is what they call my
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said, well, they live halfway between Michigan City and
the
LaPorte.
Zone.
And I put up my hand. I was like, I've never done this before. Because you do this when you live in Michigan. Mm-hmm. When I live in Indiana, I'm not sure how to hold my hand. But I was like, this is the lake. I was like, Michigan City's here.
It's not going to change.
LaPorte's here. Babu and Pawpaw live here. And she's like, well, what city is it? It's Michigan City, right? I was like, well, no. Springfield Township does not have a post office. So their mail goes to the Michigan City post office. And so their address says Michigan City. But they don't live in Michigan City.
How many kids were in your graduating class?
And
surprisingly,
I went to high school in Michigan City.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There were 350.
Yeah. Okay.
I was valedictorian.
350 is not a big.
No.
No.
Big. For the area, it's big.
It was pretty
well,
big.
For, yeah.
To be the valedictorian of 350 people.
That's were you pretty, valedictorian?
That's pretty
good. Just give him.
Really?
You know what?
I miss the whole DP.
This has been
thing.
lovely as it has been.
As charming. Lovely can be.
You're as beautiful as you are talented.
Tell you what I don't miss. What? I don't miss doing my show.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
For MP and Carl and Paul and Constance, I'm Steve Vinson. Thanks for listening. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. Nothing you just heard was true.
Message for millions. Just keep going.
bullshit.